Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today's April 7, 2018, and we're here live for the next 2 hours, and it seems like it takes a month to get to the next Saturday. I'm so anxious to get on the air. Got a lot of things to go over. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, I start my show with a fresh cup of Joe from CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. You can get your coffee, smokes, newspaper. They got a special going on here, 2 32-ounce Powerades for $3. Check them out and tell them you heard it on the radio. Go in there and get your coffee, your smokes, or whatever it is to get your day started at the CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. Also, we're simulcasting out of Rockdale and Cameron. Cameron's KMIL 105.1 FM right here at the ranch. Then you got KRXT at 98.5 FM out of Rockdale. So all you Rockdaleonians, give us a call here at 254-697-6633. Be part of the show. And speaking of the show, we've got lots going on. So let me give you basic highlights of what's happening for today's show. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have three true stories of self-defense. This time it's going to be from the American Rifleman's Armed Citizens column. And as always, we're going to learn what to do and what not to do from the failures and successes of others. In the License to Carry Attorney segment, sponsored by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson will discuss with us the Fourth Amendment, what it is, and what are all the ins and outs of it. As always, Ross will break it down in expert form. Then, in my topic of interest portion of the show, I'm going to give you all sorts of dates, upcoming events that you can participate in at Garen's Gun Shop. And after that, the delicious Janae Goodman is going to keep us all healthy by talking about food safety. Nobody wants food poisoning, so Janae will show us the way through that minefield. At 11, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the Duke of Decency, the connoisseur of common sense, and the pontificator of practicality. Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, is the Smith & Wesson M&P 45, another battle tank in the field of self-defense handguns. So go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, and you'll see a picture of me holding the gun there. And you can give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417 to buy yours. My special guest today is David Lee, owner of Lee's Tactical Parts. Now, David and I are opening up an auxiliary shop in downtown Cameron, right there by the Germania Insurance and right across from the jail, the county jail. We'll tell you all about it starting around 11:30. Then, to close up the show, Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, will use me as practice target and show us some other bits of self-defense. So all this and more, and it starts right now. We're going to start with true stories. I took this true story segments out of the American Rifleman's newest magazine, April 2008, and the first story is as follows. Concealed carry permit holders in South Carolina stopped an angry man from assaulting employees and customers at a car dealership, proving that good citizens with guns indeed help curtail crime. The suspect, who was apparently unhappy with the service at the State Line Auto Sales business, showed up at the establishment with a pipe wrench in hand. He reportedly made death threats to at least two of the employees, then shouted, "Watch this!" and smashed windows and the bodies of three vehicles to further intimidate nearby people. At that, two customers who had permits to carry drew their guns, telling him to stop wreaking havoc. They held the vandal at gunpoint until the police arrived. The police used a stun gun to subdue the suspect, and the scuffle ensued. But he was arrested and charged with five felonies, including attempted murder. One dealership employee testified at the bond hearing that the defendant had backed him into a corner, waving a wrench in a threatening manner before unleashing a triad of verbal threats and damaging the cars. Now, here's my commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, this story really makes you wonder what kind of service State Line Auto Service actually does. For a guy to bring a pipe wrench and start demolishing cars, it must have been pretty questionable. But I digress. The two concealed carry holders used command voice and command presence to stop the incident. Just having a gun with you is good, but presenting it with command presence is even better, as these two gentlemen demonstrated. Story number two. Three miscreants against one bystander are not good odds, but a gun can level the playing field for the would-be victim, as a recent break-in near Atlanta shows. Three burglary suspects gained entry to a man's residence during a Georgia home invasion in early January. While the homeowner investigated a noise he heard around 3 a.m., he spied the three intruders, at least one of whom was armed. Gunfire was exchanged, but the armed citizen was more accurate, killing one of the thugs. The other two exited the house and fled in a car. The resident was shot in the leg during the gunfight. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, the homeowner was ready and waiting with his gun. Remember, when it doesn't seem right, sound right, or look right, get your gun first, then investigate. You may not have a chance to go back and get your gun if you don't. Story number three. A Houston woman who woke up and saw a strange man standing in her bedroom early January didn't think he was there to wish her a happy new year. She grabbed the handgun she keeps by her bed for defensive purposes. When the meddler stepped toward her as she aimed the gun, she fired. The police did not charge the resident of the home. Duh. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, when I read stories like this, I can't help get emotionally involved. To be in a bed at night with a stranger breaking into your room and hovering over you must be a terrifying sight. But the action of the woman is even more incredible, that she overcame her fear of the threat enough to get her weapon and shoot the threat. So that's an awesome job. She was prepared, she kept her wits about her, and she probably saved her life. Now, as always, ladies and gentlemen, you have come to learn that Matt has an opinion. It ain't worth much, but he's got an opinion. And today is no different. So today I'm going to read to you my opinion piece for the week. You ready for this, Rick?
Does it have anything to do with guns?
I don't know. We'll see. I've titled it, Smelt It, Dealt It. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that stinky little saying, when someone passes gas, the one who smelt it, dealt it? Well, you could apply that to racism, too, if you think about it. The first one to bring up the race card is the one who probably is more prone to being the actual racist. At least that's what I've noticed. Hence the reason I bring it up as an opinion piece and not a segment based on facts or statistics. Color blindness to the eyes is a terrible thing to deal with, but color blindness of the spirit is bliss. I'm proud to proclaim that I don't care what color you are. It makes absolutely no difference to me. And I'll tell you this, it's extremely liberating. I will judge you by your character. We all have flaws and we all fall short, but our character still can shine through as good. Good character can push to the side those bad habits, or at least show to others that you mean no evil intent, even though you may make some mistakes. Every race on this planet has a derogatory name that has been given to those who shame the race. White, black, brown, yellow, red makes no difference. Each race has those few who cause embarrassment and shame to the whole race. These people are foolish, silly, naive, ignorant, retarded in their thinking. I, and I hope you too, act in a manner that is contrary to those just listed. We should be mature in our thinking and our actions. Every one of us have the ability and equal opportunity to excel in life. We just have to put the effort into it. Do I believe we can wipe out racism? Of course not. But we shouldn't treat it, or we shouldn't tolerate it, excuse me, when it's in our presence. Common courtesy to one another is a great start in eliminating racism. Respect for your fellow man or woman will go leaps and bounds in unifying people. Saying hi, holding a door open, smiling are simple, easy things to do which go a long ways to building relationships. So instead of scrunching our noses and pointing our fingers when it comes to racism, let's look with a smile and an outward hand of friendship towards all who come across our paths. Unless, of course, they're stealing your property and threatening your loved ones, Rick. So here comes the gun part. If that's the case, then default to plan B, self-defense. As the bumper sticker reads, do not mistake my kindness for weakness. And with that, Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, I have been corrected. Attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson is not here today. He's not. I don't see him. But I have super attorney.
Well, I hope he shows up. He said he was going to be here.
All right. We'll see what happens. See you on the other side. Ah. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Are you fed up with sports talk shows that water down the truth and cover sports you really don't care about? Then it's time for Bleacher Bum Radio, Central Texas' only answer to those namby-pamby sports talk shows. Join me, Buffalo Bill Whitmire, and the Bleacher Bums on KMIL 105.1 The Ranch as we bring you all the hot takes with our own special brand of commentary on all things sports. From the guys who can't even get into the tailgate, Bleacher Bum Radio every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8:30 and again from 9:20 to 9:50.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capilino Dodd Krebs.
Radio program, April 7, 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to become part of the show, the number here is 254-697-6633, or you can give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Be sure to check out the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram. Got a lot of videos, information, and on this segment here, the license to carry attorney segment, we're going to be going over the Fourth Amendment. And I got Super Attorney Rick Dodd here with me. We're missing Attorney Extraordinary Benton Ross Watson. I don't know if he's heading here or he's late or something. I don't know. But we've got Super Attorney Rick Dodd. Rick, good to see you. How you doing,
buddy? It's good to be here. What a lovely day to be in inside talking on the radio.
That's right.
Good day to be listening to the radio, too. Get you a little coffee, a little hot coffee.
Yeah, we got it all set up here. That's
pretty
good.
Listen to Matt in his opinions.
In my opinions, which I personally think they're okay. What, I'm not going to ask you what you think.
No, I think they're great. I mean, we all have our opinions, Matt, and yours might be a little stronger than others, but, you know, strong opinions, They're all right.
I don't know if you heard my segment on when I was talking about why I do this show. It kind of
I have heard that, yeah, and I agree with you. I think that's great.
So
yeah, you have every right to be proud of it. I've seen some of the photos of you and your family, and you've got it going on, Matt.
Well, that's very kind. I didn't pay him to say that either. That's pretty nice. Thanks. Well, Rick, look, I wanted to go over the Fourth Amendment because Ross last week had mentioned, or we touched on it. Everything's bleeding together here, but I know we mentioned the Fourth Amendment. I'm thinking that'd be a good one to expand upon. Illegal searches, probable cause, warrants, things of that nature. Can we just have a hodgepodge of a conversation here going over all these ins and outs of the Fourth Amendment?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one thing about the Fourth Amendment is it is there to protect all of us. I think one of the things that a lot of people have in their mind is that civil liberties are for white people and civil rights are for everybody else. But the truth is, the Constitution is for all of us. And to protect us from government intrusion, which, you know, the Second Amendment is, that's a big deal in the Second Amendment, too, is to protect us from the government. The Fourth Amendment is there to protect us from government intrusion, from people coming in and just searching our stuff, listening to us while we communicate with others, and gathering whatever kind of information the government might want to gather to use against us or against us as a society. In other words, a group of people. So, yeah, the Fourth Amendment is really important, just like all the amendments are.
Is there anybody, Trey, I know you're pretty good on history, and Rick, the Fourth Amendment was put in there. I know it's a natural right, basically, but is there anything in the annals of history that said because of these grotesque situations of abuse, we're going to make sure that the Fourth Amendment is there? Can and either one of you list something that may have been one of the key factors of a decision for the Fourth Amendment?
The Revolutionary War, wasn't it?
Well, when you look at the home as the castle, I mean, it kind of stems out of that. We have a right to privacy in our home. And, you know, again, that right to privacy should extend to everybody, whether you're straight or gay, for instance. You close the blinds, and what goes on behind the door is your business, not the government's.
I agree. Okay. All right, so we've got the Fourth Amendment. I cut you off there. Keep going with what you were addressing on it.
Well, the civil liberties and the civil rights that we all have to our right to privacy can be breached. In other words, it's not 100%. They can get a warrant, for instance, if they suspect and have probable cause to get a warrant. And, of course, then you get it off into all kind of gray areas, which, by example, I was in front of a judge one time, and I was arguing to the judge that this was a basic constitutional right. And the judge looked over the bench at me and he says, "Mr. Dodd, if you don't have anything more than the Constitution to rely on, I'm going to rule against you." And I was so taken aback by that that I, you know, this was a long time ago. I'd probably be able to answer it now, but 30-something years ago, it just kind of set me back on my heels. And it wasn't until a couple hours later when I was speaking to my mentor about this that he explained to me, well, the Constitution is certainly a valid and self-righteous piece of paper, but what the judge was asking you was to get some precedent. In other words, some other case law that had been determined by the appellate courts and the Supreme Court to tell us that this part of the Constitution meant something in particular or didn't mean. In other words, those shades of gray that we all love in the law.
Isn't what you said almost like what came first, the chicken or the egg? Because before you get precedent, don't you have to have the very first one had to base it off of the Fourth Amendment, right?
Right.
So then what would the judge say then?
Well, we know that the egg came first because the reptile laid it, but no. Okay, what was your question?
No, I don't know. No, never mind. Keep going.
So the judge had to abide by the Constitution. We knew that. We know that. But the Constitution does allow things to happen. Like, you know, the freedom of speech, for instance. You can't go into a movie theater and yell fire. That's not free speech. It's illegal, you know, because the public interest is not...
Understandably so, too.
Yeah, I mean, and so it's just like what we're here for, to talk about firearms. I mean, there are some situations where the right to keep and bear firearms or weapons should be abridged. Like, for instance, when someone talks to me about certain gun restrictions, I'm obviously in favor of some gun restrictions, and I think everybody is, because nobody would want me to carry my little suitcase with the atomic bomb in it around and, you know, get in the airplane and fly over your city. So some weapons just should be restricted. Now, you know, it's a slippery slope. Where do you draw the line? That is arguable. Today, I think we have situations, and I know I'm getting off a little bit here, but we are on subject as far as what's going on today. There's arguments about certain weapons, and because we are drawing a bright line and saying, no, you don't restrict these weapons, suddenly you have a group of people coming up and saying, well, we should restrict all weapons. And the danger there is sort of like back in the early 1900s when Prohibition occurred. There was a group of people that just said, we got to just stop this entirely. So, you know, it's worthy of concern and certainly worthy of discussion from everybody to reach some sort of a middle ground compromise.
I want to add something, though, because I want to touch on it later, and you brought something up here. What really gnaws at me is the few, let's say a city council, making the decision for the masses. And I've got a video clip that we're going to play later on, but basically you got a council of maybe 5 to 10 people determining that, like Deerfield, Illinois, they made the decision that you cannot have an AR or any type of assault rifle or high capacity pistols in that town. And if you have it, it's $1,000 a day, so on and so forth. But the few are making the decision on the masses or the majority. It's, this is not right.
Well, that's part of our federalist representative government, Matt. You know, we have to have folks up there that we elect. So all we have to do is unelect them, and then those rules change.
Yeah, that's funny you said that, because I made a comment about that.
Who elected them? Those representatives that made those rules, they decided for their township or their county or their state that this is going to be the rules. And, of course, that changes from place to place. And if you live there, you have the right to move or get out there and get someone else elected. That's our system of government.
I can't argue that. I don't like it, but I can't argue it. I get it.
Yeah, well, and again, you know, sometimes we argue those things and we change things and we say, oh, the majority rules. But yeah, even that has its limits because the Constitution won't let us just run over those that don't agree with us.
It's very frustrating, Rick, because we do. We have an accepted form of how to run things. And it's basically you elect the people that get in the council. You're hoping that they make the best decisions. Everybody's agreed upon it. You got to follow the rules until, like you just said, you vote somebody out. But you can put a lot of pressure on these people if you start sniffing what's going to be coming down, you know, downstream.
You bet. So let's get back on subject. Right. Fourth Amendment. The protection there can be limited to something like probable cause. So if law enforcement wants to gain entrance into your house to gather evidence that they believe is criminal activity, they have to get a warrant. And there are certain limitations to that. They have to go to a judge. And unfortunately, in some situations, because law enforcement, district attorneys, and judges work together all the time, it can be really easy to get that warrant. So what we have to do is we have to trust, of course, that our government and our police are all straight up, and that when they go get a probable cause warrant, it's going to be legitimate.
That's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, like most things, when we hear the 1% or the 0.1%, that's what we hear. We don't hear the 99.9% of the things that went right.
Okay, okay.
We always hear about the part that goes wrong, and, you know, then we get this thing in our mind that, oh, it's always wrong. And then, of course, television and movies, they dramatize it. And, you know, you mentioned something
a while ago
about the gentleman who knocks on the door and waves a piece of paper that he picked up off the street and said, hey, I got a warrant. And he's not even a policeman. Well, you know, I'm sure that kind of stuff happens, but hopefully that person gets arrested before it's over with. And he should, because there's probable cause for him to be arrested.
Explain to everybody how a warrant has to be gotten. What's the procedure to show that it's just not lickety-split? There's at least some type of sequence, A, B, C, and D, that has to be done.
Well, of course, there has to be some investigation to give us legitimate probable cause. And then the officer needs to then go to a judge who's allowed, like, to sign a warrant. Here in Texas, I think Justice of the Peace, certainly district judges are allowed to sign warrants. If it were like a major situation where there was a major criminal activity, and of course, you know, all the words major and minor, who knows really what that means. I would certainly, if I were a police officer, I would want to go to my chief, and I would want to go ahead and get a district judge to look at it so that there's no question about it.
Here's something that just popped in my head. What's the difference between probable cause to get a warrant to go into somebody's home as compared to probable cause to going into somebody's vehicle?
Well, the home is going to be there. So our law has said that plus our home is a little more sacred. I know in Texas we believe our cars are
Castle
also, but it's movable. The car is movable. So the evidence could be taken away and could be moved. So probable cause to get into the home is a little more difficult to get that warrant, and it should be because it's not going anywhere. But the car is sitting on the side of the road, and a police officer is in the midst of doing his investigation. He needs to be able to secure evidence a little quicker.
You want to go over it? We've got another question here. We'll mingle it together. On a traffic stop, we've done this before, but I think it might be a good idea again to talk about what an officer sees as could be probable cause, or what the person who's being stopped at a traffic stop can do to magnify why an officer would want to do a probable cause, and what a person in the car can do to maybe minimize that.
Well, and of course, the probable cause to search a car, probable cause to do an arrest. Now, once an arrest has taken place, see, they can inventory the car. So the first thing you don't want to do when you get out of the car is stagger, lean against the car, slur your speech, and pee your pants, okay?
That'd be a bad thing. Yeah.
That was always the arrest report for DWIs back when I was doing DWI defense work. Staggered, stuttered, peed the pants.
Well, I'm screwed then, because, man, I've got like I've got major issues with my body joints. I get out of a car sitting after a while, and I'm like, you'd think I'm drunk probably because the way I'm getting up, moving slow, leaning against the car to try to stand up straight.
I would recommend that you not carry 5 pounds of cocaine in the trunk of your car then, because you might get arrested.
Good idea. Not that I do that anyway, but...
Well, and when I was in law school in evidence class, criminal evidence class, I remember thinking at the time that, you know, lawyers are going to be so great they can get everybody out. So the teacher went through the litany of these evidentiary things to get probable cause to a situation where some people did have 5 pounds of cocaine in their closet. And I went through the list, and I said, and I was just astounded. I'm like, well, you know, professor, what in the world could I do as an attorney to help these people? And he says, well, there's not much. Bottom line is they shouldn't have had the 5 pounds of cocaine in the closet.
Well, what if an officer, and listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very pro-law enforcement, extremely pro-law enforcement. I want nothing but the best for them, and I'll back them up in a heartbeat if I ever had the opportunity.
Absolutely. But, and we all should.
But this is a discussion. I'm just saying, what if an officer makes a mistake? And because of his mistake, it causes grief, hardship, and financial stress on the person he did it by making a mistake or going over his bounds of probable cause. What do you do in that case? How do you,
well,
as an attorney, look at that?
Well, you used the word mistake. I mean,
but the guy's still got to go for the ride.
We have to do our clinical work, okay? If we do clinical work, any profession that does clinical work is not going to make huge mistakes that's going to cause big hardships. I mean, if a police officer knows the basic ABCs of getting a warrant, he's not going to make mistakes. Here's an example of a mistake, if you want to call it that. In New Mexico, a lady is triggered, if you may, by a drug dog. So they strip search her, and they don't find anything. Well, guess what? Then they want to do a body cavity search, and they don't find anything.
I think I know what you're talking
about. And then they take her to the hospital where they x-ray her, and they don't find it. And then they do a probe.
That is unbelievable.
They don't find it. And you know what the most unbelievable thing is? They billed her for those procedures.
Tell me that's an attorney's field day. Tell me that you would have a great time with this case.
Yeah, I think so, because it's just egregious. I mean, everybody would agree that that's egregious.
I remember that story.
Yeah. So I would have a field day with that case.
Do you recall what the final outcome was?
I think the lady resolved the civil rights case for somewhere around $400,000, which is a lot of money considering that there was really no physical, long-term, lasting issues. Maybe psychological, which I wouldn't doubt.
Okay,
that may be what justified that resolution.
So you could do everything right, but if the dog freaks out, you're still going for the ride. Okay.
That's right. Well, they should have trained the dog.
Okay, did we finish up on the procedure, though? We talk?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, it really, the bottom line for you and I is what happens when they show up with the warrant. And
that brings up a question. How do you know if it's real or not?
Well, you don't. I mean, you know, really trained people get $100 bills all the time, and they don't know that they're not real. I mean,
what would a warrant look like, or what would it say on it? Is it multi-paged?
It would have an original signature of a judge on it. And much beyond that, it would say what the probable cause is. But the probable cause could be for activity that your neighbor had, and they just got the wrong address, and we've seen that before. You know, right now, a lot of times you see police reports talk about shootings and say, well, it was because it was a drug-related shooting, except the bad guys just got the wrong address. Well, it happens in police work also. They get the wrong address. Sometimes it's just simple typos. Nobody means to do something wrong. It just comes down that way. And that's unfortunate, and that could cause hardships.
So,
we all make mistakes. That's true. Like you mentioned a while ago, we all make mistakes. But good clinical work will eliminate a lot of those.
In a situation like that, Rick, I've heard a couple of stories about this, and I think we may have even touched about it. Law enforcement is raiding a house. It's the wrong house, and the homeowner thinks it's a robber or something, and tears them up with an AR or a pistol or whatever, and you got two cops dead. What happens to this guy?
Well, even if it's the right house, Matt, it's a question of whether or not the jury is going to believe that this person's mental status was right. In other words, that when he says, "Oh, I thought it was people breaking in to try to kill me," if he really and truly believed that, the jury believed that, then he should be not guilty. And I know that's a hard thing to handle. Right now, there are some cases here in Texas.
And you're saying if that's a person who the warrant was meant for because they were doing some type of criminal activity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, bad criminal activity. They're selling lots of drugs out of and these no-knock warrants are very dangerous for police officers. And they know that, yet they still do them occasionally.
So to recap what you just said, a person's doing a bad thing. They get a warrant to bust in. He's still going to get arrested for that crime. Let's say he gets convicted of the crime, but in the process of it, he seriously thought he had to defend his life. So there's like multiple things you're judging with.
Oh yeah, and you got two police officers dead on the ground. It's awful. It's an awful situation, and
that's frustrating. Yes.
Oh, and the district attorney, by all rights, should be trying to prosecute him for capital murder. So his life is on the line. He could get injected. So the jury's look at this whole picture, unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, really. I mean, it's their job is to look at the whole picture. And if the person, has 5 pounds of cocaine in the closet or other illicit drugs, or he's a human trafficker or something awful like that, then it's more likely he's going to get convicted of capital murder than if it was the wrong address.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, the number here is 254-697-6633. You have great opportunity to discuss with Super Attorney Rick Dodd some questions that you may have. So give us a call if you got a question. Rick, let's do scenarios on both sides of the badge. And let's just use the most common thing, and that's a traffic stop. On the law enforcement side of the badge, they're looking for things. And obviously so, because that's their position. They're supposed to look for the things that are of breaking the law. The citizen on the other side of the badge, what can they do to minimize the alert signal of an officer? And what I'm trying to say is, you may unintentionally do something that looks bad that can cause you to go down that road of inspection of the vehicle. What can we do to minimize things that may look probable causes?
You don't want to pull a situation where you got your burning joint sitting in the ashtray.
Well, no, that's what you're actually doing. I'm talking to somebody who's clean. It's clean, but they can do some things that make it appear as though, like for example, your powder, Johnson & Johnson powder box broke, so you dumped it all in a Ziploc bag, and it's there in the front seat of the car, you know? That kind of looks weird.
Well, you don't want to have it in the front seat of the car, because that does give probable cause. I mean, the bottom line is you see a lot of police reports in newspaper accounts where the officer smelled marijuana, and there was a green leafy substance sitting in the front seat, or a white powder, or a small baggie. All that stuff will give them probable cause. Whether or not it's, you know, a bad drug or not, or if it's a baking powder, I mean, it doesn't matter. It gives them probable cause, because when they see that, it is an alert. So you don't want to leave that stuff out.
I remember I was driving through Williamson County, and I happened to have a taillight out of my boat trailer. And I was dead tired. I mean, I was dozing. And when I got pulled over, my eyes were beet red. I'm like, yes, sir, how can I help you? I sounded like I was doped up. And I was just tired. And the guy just didn't make comment of it. So I was lucky in that case. But that would be a perfect example of getting yourself with a probable cause, don't you think?
I agree. Did you show the officer your right to carry badge?
No. He did not ask for ID.
Okay. Okay. So maybe he recognized, didn't smell any alcohol, maybe didn't smell anything. Because there's a number of things they try to look for. A good police officer will, you know, look at the eyes and then listen to the speech, ask you where you've been, where you're going.
Strike two on that one.
You know, and if everything checks out, you know, you're off to the races. And, of course, boat trailers, man, they always have taillights.
Always, man, always. You just got to kick it once or twice, it'll come back on. You know,
that's right.
Weird.
So again, it's like anything else. What can you do to minimize that? You and I talked about traffic stops in the past before. I like to keep both hands on the steering wheel, roll all the windows down, mm-hmm. and then use the words, yes, sir, no, ma'am, and just go from there and listen very carefully to the police officer. And if you don't understand what the police officer says, I'm sorry, sir or ma'am, could you repeat that, please? Okay, my wallet is in my hip pocket. Is it okay if I reach for my license now?
Very important.
You know, just always communicate well and make sure you understand. And, you know, 99.9% of those times, the officer's going to.
Let's tag team on this one, since we just brought that up, but let's do a license to carry segment here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a license to carry, it was basically stated in the law, it still is, but you don't really get penalized for it. If you have a license to carry and you have the firearm on or about your person and you get pulled over by an officer, whoever, wearing a badge, and they ask for any form of ID, you are required to let them know if you have the firearm on you, okay? It also states, though, if you do not have the firearm on you, you don't have to tell them. That's a bad idea, though, because what happens is, and interject anytime you want, what happens is when you get pulled over, they're going to run the plates of the car. They're going to find out who owns the car, but the driver may not be the owner. So the officer's coming up, they know it's not stolen, it's insured, but they don't really know if you driving the car is the one who owns the car. So he's going to come up and ask for your driver's license. The driver's license, he's going to call into dispatch. Dispatch is going to check it out, and it's going to see it's connected to a license to carry. They're going to tell the officer, hey, you know, he's a license to carry, and the officer's going to come back to you and get a little irritated that you didn't tell him your license to carry and that you have a gun, even though you don't have it on you. So what we discuss is, if you have a license to carry, like Rick said, officer, I'm licensed to carry. I have the gun on me at this time. It's in the center console. And my wallet is in my left rear pocket. What would you like me to do? So it puts the officer at ease, hopefully, shows him you're responsible, and prevents you from maybe probable cause, potentially. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to understand that people have different concepts. And police officer are no different than that. Great example of different concepts, how we look at different things. About 4 years ago, a president wanted to move a bunch of National Guard people down to our Texas border to fight drugs and check immigration. And there was a group of people on the couch who said, oh, no, you know, we can't do that. He's trying to take over Texas. Now, 4 years later, a different president and that same group of people has switched sides to the other couch saying, oh, this is a great thing, where the people on the great thing couch now are saying, oh, this is terrible. So it just kind of depends on your perception, your bias, your predispositions. Who's right, who's wrong? They were both right at one time, and they were both wrong at another time.
All depends who's in there, man. Trey, you're quiet on this one. You got anything of interest, questions, topics? Ladies and gentlemen, the number 254-697-6633. Give us a call here if you got a question. Rick, what else can we throw into this cloverleaf of the Fourth Amendment? There's we talked about warrants, we talked about probable cause, traffic stops. The Fourth Amendment, I mean, when they wrote those amendments, it didn't necessarily mean that number four was less important as number three or two or one. They're all important. It's just a matter of one's got to come after the other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, they're all in there, and if they become unimportant, they repeal them. Or they vote new ones in, just like the prohibition. They voted it in, then they voted it out.
Too much loss of tax money on that one.
Well, there was good reason.
Why do you think they still allow cigarettes?
I think criminal activity probably was one of the big standards, and, of course, they'll point to criminal activity when they want more money, too, because that's more popular to talk about for the politician.
Do you have a big case or a case that has happened here locally concerning the Fourth Amendment that is a great example to share with others? Anything of prominence come out?
No, I can't think of one here in Milam County. I mean, I don't do a lot of criminal law, and typically a lot of lawyers will contact our office and send me an email, and I'll talk to them about a possible one. Generally speaking, though, they're very difficult. Juries don't particularly like, I guess you would really call them a Section 183 civil rights case, when someone's been wronged by illegally getting information. What typically happens, though, Matt, is if the warrant is bad and there's nothing there, like no drugs, no alcohol, no nothing that's bad, and nothing else happens.
I have a question on that. Let's say they do the warrant, and in the course of it, until they find out that it was a wrongful warrant, in the process, they find something else accidentally that may have been criminal. Can that be applied, or does that have to be waived because it was found during an illegal warrant?
Well, it's called the fruit of the poisonous tree, and the fruit of the poisonous tree has always been excluded until recently.
What do you mean, always been excluded? In other words, you couldn't use it?
If you find some fruit after you have poisoned the tree by an illegal search, you can't use it.
Okay.
But the Supreme Court of the United States, now being, shall I say, more conservative than it used to be, is now saying that if it was a mistake, in other words, if the police officers wrongful search was a mistake, in other words, he thought he was doing the right stuff, they can use the fruit of the poisonous tree, which kind of twists in my mind the whole concept of the Fourth Amendment and the Constitution.
What would gear them to start changing that attitude of now they can use it?
Who appointed them?
Clarify.
What president appointed them?
Well, no, I understand that, but I mean, what would? Well, was it more confiscation, more money, more?
They're human beings, Matt. Just every single judge sitting up there, believe it or not, is a human being, and we all have our own ideas and concepts. It's hard for me to believe that any one of the people that are sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States has any desire beyond doing good. Okay, it makes me feel uncomfortable to believe that. I really don't think any of them up there for money, because they already have a lot of money. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been appointed, because that's part of the criteria, if you may, for the president to want to appoint them. They got to be on the rich side. So I don't know. I mean, it's just sort of their beliefs from the get-go, and that's why the presidents chose them, because they already have those leanings one way or the other.
Okay. All right. This could go on and on and on. Rick, I'll tell you what. We got to end this segment anyway. Why don't you tell everybody how they can get a hold of your super services here? And
We have offices here in Cameron. We have offices in Temple, Austin, Conroe. People can get in touch with us at 697-4965, or you can look for respectforyou.com. We are very proud of our office, and that's what we intend to do with all of our clients, is get them the respect that they deserve.
And ladies and gentlemen, Rick and his firm is a major sponsor of the program. Can't thank him enough, so support them the best you can. And we'll be back on the other side, and we'll go over some topics of interest and have the delicious Janae Goodman talking about food and how to stay healthy. See you on the other side.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yacht equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
A trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. That's right, everybody. We are back. Today's April 7th, 2018, and we're here now with our topic of interest section here. It's not going to take very long. Just got a few upcoming dates. April 13th, Friday the 13th, is our next round robin. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an excellent opportunity for you not only to get some shooting in, but to practice your self-defense type of maneuvers. You're going to be shooting different types of guns under stress of time, accuracy, and being unfamiliar with some of the guns that you're going to use. It's a lot of fun, a lot of great people there. You learn a lot of skills, and if you win, you might get a gun. So you come on out there. Every second Friday of the month starts, the competition starts at 7 o'clock promptly. I need you there by 6:30 so we can get a head count. It's $20 to enter, and it's a lot of fun. So you need to come on out there and try it out. And if you've never done it before, if you're nervous, even more important that you show up, get those butterflies out of your system. Now, on the 20th, the third Friday of every month, ladies' night. Doesn't matter how you, how do you call it, Trey? I'm not good with these terms. How you accept yourself. What's the terminology for this?
How you identify.
How you identify, whatever. I don't care how you identify. However you identify, if you got a woman with you, she gets to shoot for free. Okay? She gets to shoot for free. So if you're a dude with a girl, cool. If you're a girl with a girl, if you don't know which way and you got to go, that's fine. I don't care.
Do you have to wear makeup?
Dress would be nice, but makeup, no. No, third Fridays of the month is ladies' night. The lady gets to shoot for free. Saturday the 21st, license to carry class. Starts Saturday 2 p.m., goes to about 7:30. $60 for the class. I also allow people who have a license already to take a refresher for $40. So give me a call or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and get yourself prepped and ready to take that class. They're always good, very informative. And for those of you who've already got a license and need a refresher, great opportunity to do so. One last thing, we also have seminars available. If you got a group of five or more and you want advanced training, this, Aaron's Gun Shop is the place to go. I got it all. Got tactical range, shoot house, indoor range, classroom environment, excellent instructors. That's the place to go. We can specify or make it according to what you're looking for. And a lot of good training. So check that out. Go to the aaronsgunshop.com website. Look at the High Cap Adventure page. You get to see some of the different types of seminars that we do. Give me a call and we'll work it out. With that, Trey, let's get the delicious Janae Goodman on. She's going to be talking about food safety, because who the heck wants food poisoning, right?
Right.
So, Janae, hi.
Hello, my lovelies. The sun is shining, and it's finally warm enough for weekend barbecues and family get-togethers. But that also means it's time to remind you of some food safety details. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Many people don't realize the dangers lurking behind something that we all need, food. When that food isn't held or cooked to the proper temperatures or gets stored incorrectly, it can fester any feast. Foods affected by harmful bacteria may look, taste, and even smell fine, so there's no way to tell that it's harmful. For example, I shared a delicious dinner with my brother last week, and we spent the best of 24 hours sick to our stomach. I'll spare you the details, but just know that it was nothing short of miserable. Is your refrigerator running? Well, you better make sure it's at 40 degrees or less. I guess it's funnier as a prank call. Anyways, when foods are held at improper temperatures, harmful bacteria grows and thrives. This temperature range is from 40 degrees to 140 degrees, and it's referred to as the temperature danger zone. Prepared food should not be left in the temperature danger zone for more than 2 hours. So if you're one of my listeners who insist on storing your leftovers in the microwave, quit it. Microwaves are meant to heat food, not hold it. It's important to keep a thermometer on hand to check the internal temperatures of your foods. You should always make sure it's calibrated. You do so by using the freezing or the boiling point of water. To use the freezing point, fill a glass with plenty of ice and water. Let it sit for a couple of minutes before stirring it and inserting your thermometer. If your device does not read 32 degrees Fahrenheit, make sure of the difference and adjust it accordingly. To use the boiling point, bring a small pot of water to a rolling boil and enter your thermometer. It should read 212 degrees. If not, follow the same protocol and adjust the temperature. Make sure your thermometer doesn't touch the sides of your pot or your cup. Here's some important food items that you should commit to memory. Chicken and poultry should be at 165 degrees Fahrenheit. Egg dishes and ground meats should be at 160 degrees Fahrenheit. Fish and seafood at 145 degrees Fahrenheit. And whole meats should be at 145 degrees Fahrenheit with a 3-minute resting time. Many people believe giving your food time to rest is time to allow your foods to cool down. This resting time actually allows your food to continue cooking. If you have a fancy thermometer, chances are there's a list of proper cooking temperatures included with your device. Plenty of foodborne illnesses are evaded when you keep cross-contamination to a minimum. How, you ask? Why, by making sure you clean food surfaces and by washing your hands frequently, of course. Cross-contamination is when bacteria or other microorganisms are unintentionally transferred from one item to another. For example, cutting raw chicken on a cutting board and turning around and cutting fresh lettuce on the same board without washing and sanitizing the board first. That's a quick way to get salmonella. Cross-contamination can also happen when you don't separate your foods when storing them. Think about it this way. If you have raw ground beef stored directly above refrigerated leftovers, the liquid from your beef can drip right into your food and you may not even notice. Be sure to store any foods that don't need any further preparation, such as lunch meats, produce, and drinks, above foods that must be cooked before they're consumed. The most important thing you can do is wash your hands before and during your cooking prep. Doctors recommend washing your hands in warm, soapy water for at least 15 to 20 seconds to diminish the number of harmful bacteria present. Be sure to properly thaw your foods to avoid foodborne illnesses. The safest way to thaw foods is in the refrigerator. Just be sure to put your items in the fridge about 24 hours ahead of time to make sure that they're completely defrosted. Microwaves are a decent way of thawing foods that you plan to cook right away. I don't recommend this for chicken and poultry, however, because it tends to alter the taste. If you want a quicker thawing method, you can always place your sealed item in a sink or container with constant running water. Still water becomes a breeding ground for illness-causing bacteria. Remember, you want to cook your food right away or get it back down to 40 degrees within 2 hours if using the sink method. And never, ever defrost your foods on the countertop. So let's review. Cook foods to the proper internal temperatures. Separate foods when storing them. Clean food surfaces and hands to minimize cross-contamination. And chill perishable foods at 40 degrees or below when you're not planning to eat them right away. When it comes to food safety, you can never be too safe. As always, shoot me an email at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com for all your culinary questions. And hey, if you missed the excellent information from last week's segment, be sure to hop to thecultivatedclassroom.com to give it a listen. I can't wait to dish up some more information for you next week. But until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
And go.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's having a great, cool Saturday morning. Kind of a culture shock when you walk outside one day and it's 85 degrees and you come out this morning and the wind chills down in the 30s. Oh, well, it's Texas. This time next week, we're supposed to be in the 90s. So you've got something to look forward to. Hey, you've got something more to look forward to today. I thought we'd look at what today's date is, what, the 7th day of April? You do realize, everybody, that that's only about 9 days, 8 days away from that wonderful day that we all look forward to every year, April 15th, the good old IRS day. IRS, that means IR screwed or Internal Revenue Service, whichever way you want to look at it. But when you talk about the Internal Revenue Service, we all want to stay on their good side, right? Right. But what I thought I'd do today is I'd look at some of the problems that we've had around the country, and especially here in Central Texas, the last couple of weeks, because I have been inundated by friends who have talked to me and said they're getting all these phone calls from the Internal Revenue Service, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the Internal Revenue Service reminds us every year to be careful and watch out for aggressive phone scams that, you know, poses IRS agents, opposes people trying to get money from us. You know, these continuing phone calls remain a major threat to taxpayers and remain on the IRS annual list of who the dirty dozen are that calls and tries to milk money out of millions of Americans. You know, during the most busiest time, the absolute busiest time for phone scams and for any kind of scam with the Internal Revenue Service, is the first 2 weeks before the filing deadline. So we're in the prime time right now. You know, during the filing season, the IRS generally sees a big surge in scams that come from the phone threatening such things as arrest, deportation if you're not a documented American, and a license revocation if the victim doesn't pay a bogus tax bill. You know, and sometimes they use new twists. And it's seen in recent months where identity thieves are filing fraudulent tax returns with refunds going into a real taxpayer's account, except it's not their taxpayer account. And sometimes those are followed up by phone calls trying to con the taxpayer to send money to the scammer. You know, and one good thing I have to say about the IRS is they put together a dirty dozen every year. And it's a compiled annually by the IRS and lists a variety of common scams taxpayers encounter during the year. Tell you right now, if you have not been called by someone saying they're from the IRS, you owe them money, you're going to be called. That just seems like it's inevitable. But to help the taxpayers, IRS, and sometimes I get those words mixed up, is highlighting each and every scam that happens during days. You know, some of these scams are things that are very simple to some that are very elaborate. You know, and you know, honestly, the police departments, the federal agencies, the state agencies, they're working very hard to try to figure out how to stop some of these scams. Unfortunately, many of our Americans, especially of our older Americans, they've become fearful of the IRS. They've heard about the IRS, and they think that someone on the telephone, usually with some kind of a foreign-sounding accent, is going to take their money away from them and go put them in jail and put their family in jail. So I think it's important for us to realize how the scams work. You know, common artists make unsolicited calls claiming to be IRS agents. They have computers that just generate numbers. There's no random. There's no reason for it. One number after another. You hang up, they may call back on another number. You block that number, their rollover machines will call another number. They demand that the victim pay a bogus tax bill. They convince the victim to send cash, usually through a wire transfer, or a prepaid debit card or gift card. You know, sometimes they may even leave urgent callback requests through the phone. And once again, they use robocalls, or they send out phishing emails. And that's P-H-I-S-I. Many phone calls threaten to intimidate and book them into paying. They may even threaten you with arrest, deportation, like I talked about a little while ago. And now they're using saying that if you don't pay your tax bill, your Department of Public Safety is going to revoke your license. People get scared, and they think, we're not going to mess with IRS. Folks, I'm going to tell you once, and I'll tell you again in this broadcast this morning. The Internal Revenue Service, please hear me, the Internal Revenue Service will never call you on the telephone. They do not operate in that manner. Everything that the IRS does is handled through mail, U.S. slowpoke mail. And you've got to understand that, folks. I don't care who they sound like. I don't care how well they sing, how accurate they sound. You've got to understand the Internal Revenue Service will never call you on the phone themselves. Scammers often offer caller ID numbers to make it look like the IRS or another agency is calling. That has happened, too. I've seen caller IDs come through. I've seen people who came in and complained to me when I was down in several different cities, and they'd say, I got a call from the IRS. Here it is on my telephone. And it's an actual caller ID that says the IRS. It's not going to happen. It's not real. You got to get that through your head. The callers usually use IRS employee titles and take fake badge numbers to appear legitimate. They'll use the victim they know and already know who the victim's name, address, and other personal information is to make the call sound official. The IRS has also reminded us today that scammers change tactics. Aggressive and threatening phone calls by criminals impersonating IRS agents, man, that remains a major threat to taxpayers. But variations of the IRS impersonation many times continue year-round, and they tend to work and peak when scammers find prime opportunity to strike. Right now is the prime opportunity to strike. You know, last year, they estimate, and once again, it's just an estimation of those who reported, that over 12,716 victims had over $63 million taken away from them by IRS scams. Now, folks, that's just the ones that reported. And we all know that in most crimes such as this, only 1 out of 10 are ever reported. Now, there's also some other things that I think you understand. Once again, the IRS never calls to demand immediate payment using a specific payment method, such as a prepaid debit card, gift card, or a wire transfer. Generally, the IRS will always, and I'm telling you now, they will always send you a letter saying that you owe mail. They'll never threaten to immediately bring the local police to arrest you either. And we've heard that one. I had an officer that worked for me here about 2 years ago, and he aligned with one of these scammers, playing them hard, and coming back with their own tactics. And finally, they realized what was happening. Folks, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to yell at you. The true IRS is not going to use demand tactics. They're not going to threaten to hurt you. They're not going to threaten to take your home, your life, your birthday away from you. They're also not going to demand that taxes be paid without giving the taxpayers an opportunity to question or appeal the amount they owe. Many of us have had those problems before, and you know how the IRS works. You know, if somebody asks you for a credit card number or the phone, or asks you your Social Security number over the phone, you got to remember, as far as the Social Security number, the IRS should already know it. They know more about us than we know about ourselves. But they're never going to ask you to give them a credit card number over the phone. And they're also not going to call you about an expected refund that you may be getting. There's certain ways, and I'll talk about it in a few minutes, how you can check that. Now, for taxpayers who don't owe taxes or don't think they do, don't give them out any information. Hang up immediately. You know, it's so easy just to hang that receiver up or go click on your telephone. And then you need to contact your local law enforcement, let them at least document it. Also need to report it to the Federal Trade Commission. The Federal Trade Commission can be take any kind of complaint that you may have, and it's real simple. All you got to do is go to the FTC.gov, FTC.gov. And the IRS also has a site that is called IRS.gov, IRS.gov. And any of those two sites you can go to, you can file a complaint, you can get information, you can even set up your own personal account through the IRS or the FTC, and you can check on information about your income tax. Just yesterday, since I'm one of those late bloomers who decided just to file my taxes yesterday, what I did was I went online, I set up an account, and I've got my last year's tax return. It's simple to do, it's private, and then you can actually see if you owe money or if you've taken care of anything or are there any surprises in your tax bill. So, folks, don't let people use fraud against you. That fraud that they're using to try to get the best out of you, it's a no-win situation for you. It's an only-win situation for the people who are the fraudsters. Now, let's look at tax ID theft real quickly. Your personal information, first off, what is it? What is tax ID theft? Well, it's when your personal information is stolen from a fraudulent refund. More specifically, a tax ID theft how it can be improved by the criminal. Number one, how do you stop that from happening? How do you keep tax ID fraud and tax ID theft from occurring? Number one, and I know this is hard because nobody wants to give their money to the IRS early, but file a tax return quickly. As soon as you can, file your taxes. Don't wait till the last minute. Why is that? Well, this time of year, the IRS is getting thousands and thousands and probably millions of returns in a day. The likelihood for them to catch something that's not right on yours, lessens the longer it takes. And then how do the scammers do it, or how do the thieves do it? Number one, they're going to file a false tax return using somebody else's personal Social Security number. You ever thought how easy that would be? They're also claiming someone else's children as independents. A lot of times this happens in divorce a divorce case, one party has responsibility, and then the other person gets their credit for it. They also have been cases where they claim refunds. You taxpayers, you know, some, when you look at that, and that's about as low as you can get. It is about as low as you can get when you use some deceased person or some widower's information for their deceased spouse to get a tax refund. It happens every day, though. There are people that don't care. They don't care about us. They don't care about the harm it does to our society or the individual person. It's real easy for your personal information to be stolen if you don't protect it. Number one, you got to protect it. You got to do everything you can to protect your personal information. How do we do that? Number one, don't mail or do mail your returns as early as possible. If you use electronic, which is much better, use electronic systems. Don't give out your personal information unless you know who's asking for it and why they need it. Never over your telephone do you give your personal information out. Your social security number, your date of birth. If they want to know something about you, they need to send you something in writing. Do shred personal and financial documents. I cannot tell you how many times I have seen where information has been blown around through trash that's been lost or tipped over, and you've got information that's good enough, strong enough to be able to take somebody's identity. Know who your tax preparer is. Most of them are bonded. Most of them have good intentions, but don't just go to somebody you've never met. And last but not least, you can check to see if you have a refund coming, once again, by going to IRS.gov, IRS.gov. And folks, I'm dead serious. Here it is. We are in the busiest time of the tax year. Don't get sucked up into somebody who thinks they're going to get a little bit for nothing. Remember, it's so easy for people to steal and to take advantage of us. We need to cut them off at the root and make sure that doesn't happen. All right, folks, that's pretty much the show today. I'm going to leave you with this one last thought. Weak people, revenge. Strong people, forgive. But intelligent people, ignore. Remember that. Have a great day, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week on the radio.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germain.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples. Then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms,
Welcome aboard, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program. Again, it's April 7, 2018. We've got about another 40 minutes to go in the show, and this part of the show is the Product Spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. Ladies and gentlemen, I've known Arch for quite a long time. He's a great guy. He's got a great shop there and got a great staff. You got Clint, Mike, Dennis. They got guns, rifles, pistols, shotguns, accessories, knives, ammunition, the whole works. So check them out. Support them because they support me. And without people like that, and the other sponsors on this program wouldn't be on the air. So if you like the show, keep supporting them so I can stay on the air. Now, we're going to talk about the Smith & Wesson M&P 45. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of it, me holding it there, and all the information for that particular handgun. But now, I want to make a comment about this gun and Glocks and XDs, Springfield XDs. Those are basically just tank ready guns. They're ready to go. So it all depends. You like boxers or you like briefs? You know, they're all basically the same quality. They do the same job, but they're a little bit different perks depending on what you're looking for. So when I read these breakdowns of descriptions of the particular gun, it's for those of you who have an interest in that particular gun. So some of you might have an interest, but others do. So it's going to be a brief article here. The heir apparent Smith & Wesson M&P 45. I got this off of gunsandammo.com. The military was looking at 45s again, so this article had a lot to do with that, but it breaks down to this. In response to this newfound interest in the 45, Smith & Wesson has developed a new pistol that just might meet the needs of the military, along with law enforcement agencies, perfectly. It's the M&P 45 Automatic. M&P standing for Military and Police, and Smith & Wesson originally designed and marketed the M&P in 9mm and 40 Smith & Wesson, and it impressed a lot of folks. Since its inception, Smith & Wesson has produced the M&P and other calibers, and it's doing quite well in law enforcement circles. One of the most important aspects of any pistol, in my opinion, the author writes, is the way it feels in your hands, and the M&P feels good. Smith & Wesson had a great idea in incorporating interchangeable palm swell grips on the M&P, small, medium, and large. By twisting and removing a pin from the butt of the pistol, the grip can be removed and replaced with one of different sizes, thus accommodating the hands of virtually any shooter. Now, I want to make a comment, too. Springfield XD has got it. Glocks have it. So it's not a new concept, but it is a nice thing to have if you're going to be purchasing one of these guns, the newer versions of these guns. They got all these different types of grips that you can put on there. The double stack 10-round magazine doesn't cause the grip to be bulky. Rather, it's quite comfortable. I found the M&P's grip angle to be much to my liking as well. Some striker-fired pistols I spend time with don't agree with me the way I shoot, and it takes a lot of practice and dry firing for them to get used to me. I found the M&P to be a natural pointer for the first time I handled it. The grip angle reminds me quite a bit of the legendary 1911. So that's one of the reasons why I went Glock, because it had the basic angle of a 1911 with the hump copying the arched mainspring housing there. The grip angle reminds me a lot of the 1911, the author says. In examining the M&P, I noted several other interesting features, such as the ambidextrous slide stop and the magazine disconnect. While I'm not a fan of disconnects, I'm well aware of their purpose and know that they have a place in law enforcement circles. The ambidextrous slide stop is slightly forward of where it would be normally, making it just out of reach of the thumb. This prevents the inadvertent activation of the stop while firing the pistol. The fixed combat sights are of the three-dot configuration, but night sights are available as an extra. The M&P is set up with accessory rail in the front of the trigger guard. It also features a reversible magazine release that can be quickly and easily changed to accommodate either right or left-handed shooters. I later hauled the M&P-45 out to my desert shooting range with a couple of hundred rounds of Black Hills 230 grain full metal jacket for a little workout, and I found the pistol a pleasure to shoot. The M&P-45 is one of the most well-thought-out designs I've seen in a pistol. The interchangeable grips along with the safety features make it an ideal choice for military and law enforcement. The pistols exhibit superior accuracy and is comfortable to shoot. And, of course, the unquestionable power of the 45 ACP makes the gun an all-around champion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's great for military and law enforcement, but it's also great for you, the homeowner, or a person who wants to defend themselves. It's a great pistol. It's well-made. And if that's the gun that trips your trigger, pun intended, that's the one you get. So if you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, and look at me holding that firearm there. You'll see the price tag on it, all the information. Give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it on the radio. Go there, buy it, pick it up. And if somebody beats you to it, they can always get you another one. All right, so that's ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, 254-983-4417. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make a comment. If you also go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com, and go to the Facebook page, you're going to see me sporting a ballistics vest. I've been looking around for vests, and I mean, there's tons of them out there, but I'm very specific in what I want. I know exactly what I want, for what purpose I want, and I know by doing that, it cuts out certain things that another vest may offer that this one doesn't. I want a vest that I can wear around all the time, that's not thick and bulky and cumbersome, that's lightweight, it's flexible and movable with my body, and I found something. I love it. So if you check it out, aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you'll see me wearing it there. I'm wearing it right now in the studio. I'm going to be wearing it a lot this weekend. I want to get used to it. But if you want one of these, give me a call or an email, and I'll square you away. I like this vest. I've seen the videos on it and how it handles rounds going through it. It just stops it dead in its tracks. Now, yeah, you'll get a little bruised just because it's soft armor as compared to steel plates. But the benefit of having it on you as compared to I'm too weak or I'm too worn out by wearing steel plates, it's better to have this thing on you than having that $400, $500 vest that can stop rifle rounds sitting in the corner of your bedroom. Okay? So check it out. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. You'll see me wearing it there. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or give me a call. I'll tell you about it. We can get you one ordered, and it's pretty nice. I just like how it's flexible. I had Rick in here trying it on. He liked it too. Excuse me. And I've had a few other people try it on, and they understand, wow, it's pretty nice. And you can adjust it how high up you want on your chest, how low. And it's just your basic plain model. I've tried shirts over it. I personally, if I could get away with it, which I can, there's no reason I can't, is to wear it on the outside all the time. Because in case I decide to take it off, it's real quick. I just take it off, throw it in the trunk. But if I could walk around with this thing all day long, I'd feel a heck of a lot more comfortable if something happened. The only thing you got to deal with is, what are you wearing the vest for? But then again, why do I really care what people think? Anyway, check it out, aaronsgunshop.com. Take a look at the Facebook page. Like us while you're there. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel. Lots of great videos. We got Rick Dodd on there. Got attorney Benton Ross Watson on there. A whole bunch of guests talking about different topics. I've got videos on there demonstrating different types of tricks of the trade when it comes to handling your firearms. All sorts of good things you can check out on Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. Also on Instagram, follow us on Instagram. Become a follower there. And there's just lots of good information coming your way, so check it out. And don't forget, we simulcast every Saturday from 10 to noon here on this station, KMIL, and also at Rockdale at KRXT, 98.5 FM. Trey, with that, let's take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to have my special guest, David Lee. David and I, we've got this new location here in Cameron, right across from the jail, right next to Germania Insurance. And we've got a lot of stuff going on, and we want to share it with you. David's got an incredible amount of stuff he has to offer to you. So check it out. We'll see you on the other side.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fault Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bolts. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fault Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. David, let's make sure we get in that mic. We've got special guest here, David Lee from David Lee or Lee's Tactical Parts. David, you've been on the show before.
Yes.
You know, you come to the range, all that. Good buddies here. We got something going on here. First of all, say hi. Tell everybody how they get a hold of you, what you're doing, and we'll talk about the details. Cameron's got a new shop in town.
Yes, we have a new little gun shop. We're not going to be actually selling firearms. We're going to be selling parts, ammo, cleaning supplies. Everything you need, shotgun shells for when you go bird hunting. You can
see who it is.
Reach us at 254-598-5370, and our address is
Good question. It's the little brown shack right in front of Germania, right across from the jail. You can't miss it. Yeah. It's right by the tracks, across the street from the jail, and in the front yard of Germania Insurance.
Well, a big sign up says Lee's Tactical, and Matt will also have his sign out for Aaron's.
Yeah, so we've got...
High-cap adventure.
Cameron's got its own little accessory store for ARs, AKs, pistols, whatever you need locally. And we were just talking about this. Each business has its own little facet of what they do. David here, he's the one in between the cracks. I've always used this analogy. You got a sidewalk. You got a slab of concrete. You got the wooden partition. You got the slab of concrete. I'm one of those people in the cracks, and David's one of those people in the cracks with the services and the products that we provide. We are supplemental or assisting of or supporting to all those other kind of businesses that have different types of products. We just supply the stuff that you would probably go somewhere else to get online or where else. Now you don't have to do that. You actually come in, put your hands on the stuff. So let's talk about this, David. We talked about the location. What kind of services are you going to be providing for the local area here?
I want to be the one that you come to when you want to get ammo for, let's say you're going to go do some target shooting tomorrow, come by and see me. You're going to go bird hunting, I got your shotgun shells. Just about everything that you need that you don't have, or you're going to have to order, you break something on your AR, you need a specific part, I got it in stock. Come on by and visit. I got barrels, I got... The only thing I can't sell would be the lowers, of course. The FFL is going to have to carry it either back up to Rogers or over to Matt's shop down in Cameron. But everything else, if you need it, if I don't have it, I will make sure that I do have it the next time you come to my front door.
I'll tell you what, let me make a comment, David. You have this ability to find, I don't know what it is, these parts. The parts that, you got the general parts that everybody wants, but then you got the different parts that certain people are looking for that you can't find in general places. You have to go special order. I mean, you have a tendency to have them on hand, which makes it pretty cool. I'll look at your rack and I'm saying, heck, I didn't even know they made that.
I got a bad problem with that. I'll spend hours and hours and hours on the internet trying to find new, neat little things that somebody might want to put on their weapon. I'm looking into scopes now because it's my understanding a lot of people want specific scopes for their weapon. And I'm trying to find a good deal so that you get a good deal. I want you to be able to come by and say, I don't have to go all the way into town now to get this because I can go right up to Lee's and pick it up for a good price. I don't want you to have to go out of town. I want you to be able to come visit me. You hog hunters, come on down. I'll have 300 Blackout, 308, whatever you need.
Okay, and then you're going to be doing. You've been doing gun shows too,
right? Yeah, I'll be doing all of the Taylor and all of the Belton gun shows that come around. So that might kick me out of the store on Fridays and Saturdays every now and again. But I'll make sure you all know what time or when we're going to be going or when we're not. I do have the one show in June in Waco, but that's just a fluke, and I'll be staying nearby. I want to get the store going really good. I'd rather see you guys just come on down anytime you need it and pick it up.
I look at you, David, as an emergency stop.
Yep.
Really. You can go online and get it, but you got to wait 2 to 3 days, depending on how you have it delivered to you. But because you've got a diversification of these products that are interest that people say, I've got all the stuff that I've got from everywhere else, but I need this. And I want to make something else, another comment. I did an episode on Christmas trees, an opinion piece on Christmas trees with your rifles, and people putting all this crap on their rifles that just get stuck in vines and bushes. I'm not talking that stuff with David here. I'm talking actual replacement parts. You got, for example, let's say you want a larger, what's the bar under the trigger? The trigger plate.
Yeah.
And you want it curved a little bit because you may be wearing gloves and you want a little bit more space for your finger. You're not adding anything that's sticking out from the gun. You're just replacing a part that already exists with a little modification. So those are some of the things that you can
have. It's all those little parts that when you throw a spring, when you throw a detent, when you throw something that lands in your carpet and you can't find it, it's going to cost you $10 in shipping to get it sent to you. Come by the shop. I got it for $1. Save yourself $9, $10 all the time. Waiting a week to get it. I already have it. Come on down and visit.
Now, when are we anticipating you being open here? A couple weeks?
2 weeks tops. I'm waiting right now. Basically, as soon as the alarm system comes in, we're good to go.
All right, that's pretty good. So everybody, when you're driving up and down the highway there in Cameron, and you're going past the jail, look over, you're going to see a whole bunch of signage showing Lee's Tactical Parks. You'll see my sign there for High Cap Adventures and the radio program and the stations and the times. And when he's there, you go on in, check out all the different products, and it's going to be a continuously growing endeavor, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's your niche. The niche is you've got the stuff that a lot of the others don't carry, because here's what it is. There's, when you're in business, you have to figure out what you're doing and what your market is. When I was doing my business, I had a completely full stocked retail shop.
Right.
And you got to be like a chameleon in this business. You've got to alter yourself and adjust to what's going on. I would do license to carry, products, guns, the whole works. But when you have more and more people opening up gun shops and more people doing license to carry, you have to change the way you do things. You have to specialize. So that's why I pretty much got out of the retail side of it, and now I'm strictly an instructional facility, minus give or take a gun sale here and there. You're that guy who offers all the stuff in between what the other people have, the guns already fastened or put together, the other aspects of purchasing guns or pistols, rifles, shotguns. You've got all the stuff in between, which is really cool.
I found out in the beginning, a year ago when I started all this, just over a year, I tried selling guns, and that wasn't the market. People already had the guns at the gun shows. Where I got my start from was at the gun shows. And they wanted stuff to put on their guns. They wanted parts to fix their guns. They wanted to build another upper. They wanted to build their own lower. They wanted to do this, that, and the other. And I said, you know what? This is stupid. Why buy guns? Why build guns when I can just sell them the parts, let them build what they really want? So
you can't get more specific than the person coming in and getting what they want specifically.
You can't complain what you asked for.
Right. Well, I don't know. Some people can actually do that, too.
I know some people like that.
Stop looking at me, Dave.
My dear buddy, Matt.
David, how can they get a hold of you?
You can contact me at leestacticalparts@gmail.com, or you can contact me at 254-598-5370. That number also rolls over to my office mobile. So if I'm in Colorado for some screwy reason, you can still talk to me.
All right, so let's recap this because we'll cut it short here. Lee's Tactical Parts opening up on the main drag in Cameron, directly across from the Milam County Jail, right next door in the front yard of Germania Insurance, just about 10 feet away from the railroad tracks. You can't miss it, okay? It's a little brown building. Used to be the bling box in there. So if that rings a bell, you should know. And in 2 weeks or less, he's going to be open. So start figuring out what you want. And David can take care of you in that respect.
Yeah, if you can, send me an email if you think about it, if you have a half second of your busy day, and just say, you know, I'm really interested in getting some 300 blackout shells that I don't want to drive all over town to find. This is what size that I'd like to have, or 223s or 308s or whatever it is you're looking for, and give me a heads up. This is what I'd really like to see you carry. I'll make sure it's on the shelf.
Sounds good. All right, Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, David, hang tight. And when we come back, we're going to throw in a few extra things here of different topics. And David, I want you to hang tight, and you can participate in it. And when we come back, we'll get those things done. See you on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Cappellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cappellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Are you fed up with sports talk shows that water down the truth and cover sports you really don't care about? Then it's time for Bleacher Bum Radio, Central Texas' only answer to those namby-pamby sports talk shows. Join me, Buffalo Bill Whitmire, and the Bleacher Bums on KMIL 105.1 The Ranch as we bring you all the hot takes with our own special brand of commentary on all things sports. From the guys who can't even get into the tailgate, Bleacher Bum Radio every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8:30 and again from 9:20 to 9:50.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Everybody, the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. I got Trey in front of me. I got David still here in the studio, but I wanted to go over a couple things before we get the awesome Master Cindy Keehan here. I saw this article by David French, and I wanted to read it to you. It's three simple reasons why an assault weapons ban is a bad policy. And then I want to play something after that will be very interesting. Let me read this short article. It's always remarkable to me that assault weapons bans dominate the gun control conversation after mass shootings. Yes, I understand that AR-15s or similar weapons have been used in a number of recent attacks, but when we slow down, take a breath, and look at actual gun crime, the logic for banning the kind of weapon that millions of Americans use for entirely lawful purposes, including self-defense, starts to disappear. Let's break this down by three broad categories of gun deaths. First, an assault weapons ban is irrelevant to suicide deaths. The large majority of gun deaths are suicides, and there is no credible argument that an assault weapons ban will have the slightest effect on suicide. I'm not sure that I've ever even heard anyone make that argument. Second, an assault weapons ban is statistically meaningless to homicide deaths. Rifles of all kinds kill fewer people annually than knives or even feet or fists. An assault weapons ban, really a ban on future sales, proposed laws would not take a single so-called assault weapon off the streets. It would be aimed at a firearm that is rarely used to kill. Third, there's no evidence that banning assault weapons would prevent mass shootings. This is a key point. The post-shooting debate is often conducted as if folks think that if a mass shooter can't get an assault weapon, he won't shoot at all. Blocking access to new AR-15 is not remotely the same thing as stopping a mass shooting. In reality, the move to ban AR-15s rests on a different idea. The notion that the ban will possibly decrease the lethality of any given mass shooting. Aside from the most unusual circumstances, such as the Las Vegas shooting, this is speculative. After all, the history of mass shootings demonstrates that men wielding handguns are capable of inflicting terrible losses. Women, too, by the way. And handguns are generally the weapon of choice for mass killers. An assault weapons ban represents the worst form of gun control. We know it would burn the self-defense rights of law-abiding Americans without meaningfully addressing the problems it's purportedly designed to address. We know it wouldn't impact overall gun death rates. We don't have evidence it would prevent mass shootings. Given that reality, it looks much less like rational policy making and much more like legislative emoting, a moral gesture with the primary impact of diminishing American constitutional rights. Just saying. Now, Trey, you got that video set up?
I do.
I want to make a comment. Walter, I know you're listening. We were talking about city councils banning guns and making it a fine daily if you still possess them. Deerfield, Illinois is one case of that. The city council there banned them, and they said if you don't turn them in, you're going to get fined daily up to $1,000 a day. This video we're about to play, it's gun advocate Mark Robinson makes an impassioned plea to a city council about standing up for the majority, and I want to let you know that I was made known to this by Kenneth Schneebly, host of TCMC, Texas Country Music Countdown, and I want to thank him for that. So, Trey, let's play that. It should be about 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Listen up, raise it up, the volume, and check this out. Go ahead.
I've heard a whole lot of people in here talking tonight about this group and that group, and domestic violence and blacks. These minorities and that minority. What I want to know is, when are you all going to start standing up for the majority? And here's who the majority is. I'm the majority.
Yeah.
I'm a law-abiding citizen who's never shot anybody, never committed a serious crime, never committed a felony. I've never done anything like that. But it seems like every time we have one of these shootings, nobody wants to put the blame where it goes, which is at the shooter's feet. You want to put it at my feet. You want to turn around and restrict my right, constitutional right that's spelled out in black and white. You want to restrict my right to buy a firearm and protect myself from some of the very people you're talking about in here tonight. It's ridiculous. I don't think Rod Serling could come up with a better script. It does not make any sense. The law-abiding citizens of this community and many communities around this country, we're the first ones taxed, and the last ones considered, and the first ones punished when things like this happens, because our rights are the ones that are being taken away. That's the reason why I came down here today. Gun show or no gun show, NRA or no NRA. I'm here to stand up for the law-abiding citizens of this community, because I'm going to tell you that what's going to happen. You can take the guns away from us all you want to. You all write a law, I follow the law, I'll bring my guns down here, I'll turn them in. But here's what's going to happen. The Crips and the Bloods on the other side of town, they're not going to turn their guns in. They're going to hold on to them. And what's going to happen when you have to send the police down there to go take them? The police can barely enforce the law as it is. As what I see, we demonize the police, criminalize and vilify the police, and we make the criminals and the victims. And we're talking about restricting guns? How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that when the police department's already hamstrung? You're not going to be able to go down here and take these guns from these criminals. So the criminals are going to hold on to their guns. They're still going to have them. They're still going to break in my house, and they're still going to shoot me with them. And guess who's going to be the one that suffers? It's going to be me. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, it is not going to happen without a fight. And when I say fight, I don't mean shots fired. I don't mean fist thrown. Nope. I mean I'm going to come down here to this city council and raise hell just like these loonies from the left do.
Yeah.
Until you listen to the majority of the people in this city. And I am the majority. The majority of the people in this city are law-abiding. And they follow the law. And they want their constitutional right to be able to bear arms. They want to be able to go to the gun show and buy a hunting rifle or a sport rifle. They're no military-grade weapons sold at the gun show. An AR-15 is not a military-grade weapon. Anybody would go into combat with an AR-15 is a fool. It's a semi-automatic 22 rifle. You'd be killed in 15 minutes in combat with that thing. So we need to dispel all these myths, and we need to drop all this division that we got going on here. Because the bottom line is, when that Second Amendment was written, whether the framers liked it or not, they wrote it for everybody. And I am everybody. And the law-abiding citizens of this city are everybody. And we want our rights, and we want to keep our rights. And by God, we're going to keep them, come hell or high water.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was incredible. That was awesome. It was really good. And that's how I feel. So I put out this comment to all city councils. I'll tell you what, city council gets elected. So the people in there making decisions to do that kind of stuff, it kind of falls back on us. But if there's an aroma or a stink coming that something like that's going to happen, you need to stand up and make your voice heard and try to make that not happen. And if it does happen, get those people out of office. So anyway, look, Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, hopefully we'll have Master Cindy Key here. I'm not sure if something's coming up, but hopefully she'll be in any second. If not, we'll do a replay on one of her episodes. So give me about a minute, and we'll be back on the other side. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Come back with different strides.
Welcome back, everybody. Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I got Master Cindy Key here simulating or demonstrating what she's going to do to me on video here. And, Ms. Key, why don't you say hi and tell them what you're going to do to me.
Hey, everybody. Right now, I think all of you have probably done swimming where you've done the breaststroke. Well, this particular block is kind of like that, where I'm a woman, so he would probably try to grab me. I'd come here, and I'm going to press his arms out of the way. And once I have his arms away from getting a hold of me, then I'm going to attack. So I swim like I'm swimming into water, and I open him up. And now I have whatever I want to choose to use. For me right now, I like elbows and strikes to the face and throat. So right now, I'm close enough to where I can hit him. I have short arms, but I'm close enough right now where I can slide in, and I can do my elbow strike. Right here, I have a throat strike. I'm bringing my knife hand up to his neck. Then I have the heel palm. I can attack his eyes so that he really can't see what he wants to do to me. Even if he tries to grab me again with that arm that I don't have a hold up, I can open him up again. And then I have elbow to the ribs, solar plexus, and then come back again here. And I don't lose control of this one arm, because if I know where one arm is and I only have to worry about the one that I don't have contact with, so I just want to keep that one.
Well, the one you don't have contact with is trying to hold my sore butt up.
But anyway, but I like to tap the front and the ribs, solar plexus, whatever I can get. Throat, knife hand. What I like about the knife hand is that my hand is flat. If I try to punch, you see, I might hit his chin first, and I don't like hit. I'm older. I do not like hitting my knuckles on something hard. If I could hit his throat without hitting this chin first, I wouldn't worry about it. If I'm going to use knuckles on his throat, I'm going to do four knuckle strike, where I just bend these four, and then I come in like that, so I don't have to hit this bony chin.
I'll tell you what, she's not even putting pressure, and you can feel your Adam's apple just like saying, "What are you doing?"
Or I would use my knife hand, or I would use a tiger mouth, which is coming in here, and then I would just grab.
Mm. Let's try it on the other side so they can see it. We're going to have this on video probably Tuesday, so you can check it out. I know it's hard to tell verbally, but check out Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel, and you'll see it there, or the Facebook page.
I'm swimming out over into the water, opening his arms up. I come forward with an elbow strike horizontally. I can hit him again. I can come in here and hit him with a knife hand here. I can come up with a throat strike. I always like to get the eyes, because if he's worried about seeing, then he's not worried about really attacking me. I have the groin. If I want to attack the groin, I can come in with an elbow to the ribs or the solar plexus. Which I don't let go of this one arm. I want to control this arm. I'm right-handed, so I like attacking with my right side, but I use my left to keep him from pulling.
30 seconds. Okay. Ms. Key, tell them how they can get a hold of you and how they can learn this stuff in person.
All right, come on down and I believe it's this Monday. Rockdale ISD is sponsoring a free self-defense class for iTiger parents or guardians. It's free, 6 o'clock. I'm teaching it. If we get at least a few people in there, it will be a whole course. It'll be like a 4 or 5 week course. If not very many people show up Monday, then that's all we're going to do. Then it'll just be over. And come do it, because I charge $80 a month for classes. It's free, guys.
That's
come
awesome
on
deal.
Out.
Tell them how they get a hold of you.
254-721-2775. Text or call Rockdale ISD for the free self-defense class. Woo!
And until then, keep your powder dry and God bless.
Munster's pedestrianized historic Old Town. After killing at least 3 people and injuring 20, the driver shot and killed himself. A police spokesman says additional suspects could have fled. Police evacuated the area after a suspicious item was found inside the vehicle.